What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. This is episode 58. Today, we're talking about how to study the Bible. This is my way of studying the Bible, and hopefully you can pull some pointers from it when you study the Bible. So let's get right into it. You know, scripture is clear that we must meditate on the word day and night, all right? It's important that we study the word of God. He created the book for us to guide us in life. And so we all should be studying our Bibles on a weekly basis and near at least once to see what it is he has to say to us. You know, the first thing you need to understand is that the scriptures is one big message from God to you. It details his original plan for mankind, what went wrong, and how he's going to fix it. The Bible speaks to humanity as a whole and to different nations. So it'll be talking to everybody. Then they'll say, you know, I'm talking to Israel right now. Or I'm talking to everybody but Israel. Okay. The Bible is a history book about the past and the future. So as you read in there, you'll see things he'll say. Many of the things that happened in the Bible, you can find archaeological evidence to support what the Bible said. And I've come across a lot of different pieces of evidence over the years that increase my faith in the Bible and in the Word of God. But apart from even the evidence, I just have personal experiences that connect with the Bible. In other words, God has done things in my life that mirror what the scriptures teach. And so that's why I believe the Bible is true. So I have archaeological evidence. I also have personal experiences that all support that the book is true and God is true and everything is all connected. So for anybody who's struggling with, is the Bible really, you know, true? Is it the word of God? You know, I would encourage you to go look up some books that won't use the Bible to justify itself, but archaeological evidence. Just go find books like that. You can go online, Amazon, and check out books like that. I may link some in the sermon notes on the website for you to check out if you're struggling with trying to understand whether or not the Bible is really of God or not. All right. So this is not a sermon about teaching people, getting people to accept whether the Bible is true or not. Obviously, you're already past that at this point. But this is like Bible 101, just an overview of what it is, how to study it. Okay. When you read the Bible, you'll notice it's a ton of accounts and events about morality. All throughout it is about morality. Pretty much the whole Bible is about what's right and what's wrong. And the reason for that is because God wants a relationship with his creation, and he's telling them, this is how you interact with me. This is what's pleasing to me. This is what's displeasing to me. This is my character. This is who I am. You need to be like me in order to be acceptable by me. And so you'll see all these accounts where somebody served the Lord and they were blessed and somebody disobeyed the Lord and they were cursed or they were punished. And then somebody repented and then they got right with God. And you'll see all that in the Bible. You see that through Israel's, the Old Testament, and then you'll see in the New Testament the same thing. People following God, disobeying God, and then there's consequences and blessings and all that kind of stuff. So the Bible is made up of 66 books. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. The Old Testament is what God was saying to Israel. And then there's a period where he stopped talking because they disobeyed him. And then the New Testament picks back up where he's bringing his son on the scene to redeem his people. There's also other books that we know of. We talked about the Apocrypha in one of my articles that are connected to the Bible as well. Originally, the King James Bible, in the middle of it, between the Old and the New Testament, had a bunch of books in there. And they were regarded as reference books that you could read and study and get benefit from as well. They were taken out. And so we normally think that the Bible is 66 books, but it's more books than that. All right. Now, you can check out my article about the Apocrypha. It's a detailed, you know, overview of what books are in there, what things of that nature, and go from there. But if you are scared of reading the Apocrypha, don't read it. If you feel convicted not to read it, don't read it. Just stick with the 66. You'll be fine. Okay. Everything you need for salvation and connection with God is in the 66. I'm not making it a law for somebody to read the extra books. Just stay with the 66. All right. So when you approach the Bible, you have to always approach it with, this is to change me. That's the first and main goal you want, is what is God saying to me about my life? Okay. Look to see the Bible change you. The main reason is to look to be transformed. That's what the book is for. To guide you to God. Help you understand him. Interact with him. And be saved and be an eternal citizen in his kingdom. That's the main reason for the book. Now, on the other hand of that, if you don't agree with the Bible or believe it's the infallible word of God, then you shouldn't read it. I've heard people say, well, it's written by man, so there's errors in it. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. You got to really settle all this stuff before you start studying the Bible. All right. So if you're one of these people who think that the New Testament shouldn't be in the Bible because it was written mostly by Paul, or you don't think it's infallible, in other words, that it's without error, then you gotta settle that, because you can't really study something and really follow it as your guide if that's how you think about it. Okay, so I would say you're not even a believer, because once you get to know God, you know that that's his book. He'll tell you that this is my book. You know, if you don't have a relationship with God, that's why you question the Bible too. So I don't accept when they say, oh, I believe in God, I love God, but I don't know about that book. Like, they connected. How you gonna tell me that you know God, but you don't know the book? You don't really think the book he wrote. Now, there are many translations out there. Some have been tampered with. You can still get the message, even in those that are tampered with. But God, if you're talking to God and asking him help understand the book that he wrote for you, he'll guide you to the right translation. He'll help you understand passages that may have been mistranslated. So don't worry about that. Just understand that you have to have a belief in God first and have settled that this is his book. All right. I also want to say that if you're one of these people who seek to switch the scriptures, God has something for you as far as punishment going forward in life. If you are a person that does not want to accept the word for what it really is saying, and you want to twist it and teach others something that it doesn't say, then there's a punishment for that. And that's mentioned in the book of Revelations. But overall, you're basically saying what God said he didn't say, or he said it a different way, and then you're telling people that. And that's just for the teachers and the prophets. If you're going to open the book up and do that to people, just know that you're going to get dealt with by God, and it's going to be punishment, and you probably end up in a lake of fire if you continue to practice that. This book is a basic fourth grade reading level. You can understand it by the Holy Spirit. He's very self-explanatory and very basic in many of the things in the scriptures. It's not something that hard, you know. However, you need spiritual understanding. That's why we need to be saved and we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit in order to understand the scriptures. And sometimes he gives us teachers to help us, that he gives that information to, and then you have to hear from the teacher and stuff like that. But overall, I want you to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, because what if there's no teachers around? Okay, you need to be able to open up the book for yourself. And that's why I'm doing this sermon, so you can be empowered, so that you don't have to be like, I don't know how to even read or study scriptures to really understand what you can. Okay, you know, the book is for everybody. It's not for the teachers to give to the people. It's for everybody. So you can study on your own and get revelation. And so this is how you study the Bible. Study the Bible in the spirit. You must be born again. God is spirit. And you can't understand things that are in the spirit without the spirit of God. All right. So don't lean to your own understanding. As mentioned in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Ask the Holy Spirit. Come to the word of God with, I don't know. Holy Spirit, help me to understand. All right. Don't come with this proud mentality, like, I got that, I get this makes sense, this, that, and the other. You know, you can't come to the Bible like that, because you might miss something or misinterpret something, and then you end up like these people I just mentioned, twisting scripture to say something that agrees with how they feel about life rather than what God is really saying. All right, so just walk in the spirit when you study the scriptures. All right, humble yourself and say, this is your book, I want to learn from you, God, help me to understand these scriptures. Now, you need to choose a good Bible version. By default, the King James Version is pretty much found everywhere. If you go to the dollar store, for a dollar, you can get the whole Bible. That may be archaic in its language to some people, and so they say, well, I want a new, you know, standard version of English. That's fine. There's a whole movement of people calling themselves the King James Only movement, where they believe that that's the only inspired word of God. Every other Bible is trash. And I don't agree with them, but there are a lot of things that they bring out about this particular version that resonate with me and make a lot of sense. In other words, it's more authentic than some of the newer versions. There's a lot of reasons why they want to stay with just the King James Version. I study that as my foundational Bible, but I also have a New Living Translation next to it. I may have a CEV, which is a Contemporary English Version. I may study out the New American Standard or other versions that speak with English that's more modern for today so that I can understand the scriptures. Because the way the King James reads sometimes, some of the words they use, we don't use those words or they mean something totally different today. And so you'll get confused thinking that, you know, what they're saying, they're not really saying that. So that's why you need to pick a version. Like, you can have a parallel Bible. I have a parallel Bible where there's King James on one end and then New Living Translation on the other. All right? You pick one that you feel it works. And ask God. Say, God, which should I pick up? You go to the bookstore, you go to Barnes & Noble, or just do this. You can try out different versions online. You can go to Bible Gateway and just read different versions of the Bible and have a parallel view set up, and then you start studying one that particularly that you fond of, then you just go with that one, you know. But I would say the King James, I mean, it's a movement around that one book. They got so many points and they got too many things about that version that really make you think that, man, this is really a very well translated book. In other words, the men who took the original Hebrew and the Greek in the Aramaic and just transcribe it into English, they was really in tune with God when they translated it. And that's what they're saying. And they're saying that the other versions may not be the best, is what they're saying. Now, my thing is that any Bible, if you got the Holy Spirit, you can understand it. It's the best version for you because you got the Holy Spirit helping you understand it. So I'm not a type of person gonna make you just, you better read the King James only and that's it, because, you know, otherwise you're gonna end up, you know, I don't teach that. I don't get into all of that, but I do make that my version. So, and then, like I said, it's readily available everywhere. You can get one for $1 at the dollar store. Go to Family Dollar and you can go pick up one. You know, you've ever been in a hotel, you see a Bible is there for you. It's a King James version usually, you know, but choose a version. Now, when you're reading the Bible, when you're studying it, just read slowly, look up the definition of words. And the reason why I say that is because when you understand the full meaning of a word, it helps you understand why it was chosen and why what's being said matters, okay? You can't just go drive by on scriptures and verses and not really understand the words. And so sometimes it's best just to look them back up. You can do a Google search for a definition of a word. And sometimes the words that are used in the King James, like I said, they don't apply today or it means something totally different. So you have to be aware of that. And that's why I recommend somebody that you have a modern English version of the Bible parallel to the King James so that you don't get confused. Also, just when reading the King James version, sometimes you can fall over words because of the language. That's old English, you know, we don't talk like that today. That's not our lingo. So there are many parts of the King James that read real very smoothly, but then there's other areas that just, you know, they're using different vernacular that's just weird, and so that could screw up with your study if you're not doing an intense study. But I like it. I have a dictionary that looks up all the words that were translated to show you what the original word was that they translated it from, the Greek or the Aramaic or the Hebrew or whatever, and it shows you, okay, this is what this word means, stuff like that. We'll talk about tools later on, but that's all you're doing, reading slowly. You're trying to get the meaning. They say, you know, there's a scripture that goes line upon line, precept upon precept, just slowly, line by line. Okay. All right, I get that. Okay, I get that. And once you get an understanding, you can move to the next line and the next line. All right? And you're looking for principles. You're looking for what God is saying overall. All right? The next thing you need to do is read in context. Never just grab a scripture or let somebody throw a scripture at you and then let it be. Just, okay, let me read that in context. You need to read it in context by reading the verse before it, reading the verse after it, reading the whole chapter to see what is being really said here. You also have to look at the context of the times. When was this written? And you'll find that out by the tools that you're using later on. Historians will let you know when a particular letter was written, like a Paul's epistle or something like that. So you want to make sure the context of the times, the context of the translation, because like I said before, the King James Version has language that we don't use today. So make sure that you understand that. And these tools that I'll talk about later on will help you to study the Bible. So when you're studying the Bible, as we said before, we need to meditate on the word day and night. Meditation is like a cow munching on food, all right? If you see a cow, when they eat the grass, they don't just eat it and swallow it and just go for the next piece of grass. They chew on that bunch of grass for a long time until it's broken down to so many parts that it's like liquid. And then they digest it. And that's how we got to do with the Word of God. That's why I don't agree with reading plans, and I'll talk about that later. But cows will chew on the food slowly. They'll regurgitate it. In other words, they'll let it go down and throw it a little bit, bring it back up, chew it up again, bring it down, bring it up again, chew it up again until it's totally broken down. And that's what we need to do with Scripture. All right. So you may be on 3 or 4 passages for a week, just meditating on them, thinking about them. And really seeing, and you'll see how God will just bring out all this stuff about it. You can write a book about a few chapters, because so much God can bring out of a passage. So that's how we got to study Scripture. It's not something just to read through and say, I read the Bible in a year. You know, I don't support that. And so meditation is thinking on it. Just thinking on it, man, what does this really mean? How does this apply to my life? And just thinking on it. And you know, when you go through the day thinking on those scriptures, it's not a scripture memory thing. Okay. Meditation is not scripture memory. All right. It's not reciting the scripture over and over again. That's not meditation. Meditation is thinking about what God has said and how it applies to you. So this idea, I'm going to just memorize scriptures. Like, it's a bunch of people know a whole bunch of scriptures, don't know how to even apply them. They're not in their soul. It's just in their head. And God is not with that. I don't care about you remembering all these scriptures. He cares about you applying them and letting them seep into your soul to where they're a part of you. And that's how they get a part of you, by meditating, not just scripture memorization. That's some foolishness. You'll memorize a passage by meditating on it. That's the extra benefit of it. But it can't be the only thing you're doing. So teaching kids and youth ministry to remember certain passages is they need to know what it means to them. That's more important rather than just knowing a passage, where it's located and how to recite it. So, you know, and just check out a cow. You ever watch a cow eat? He just take forever. But he's really breaking that food down, and you have to take your time with the Bible. It's not something that is going to be completed in a year. All right. Now, they had these plans and they make you feel like you did something after a year. I read the whole Bible. So you think God is clapping? Oh, you read the whole Bible. I'm so glad you read my whole book. He's more concerned about you applying stuff in your life in that word. I'm not saying it's wrong to study the Bible in a year or anything like that, but I don't believe you can. You can read it in a year. It's quite possible. They have all these little plans in every Bible you buy now. If you get one with a bunch of stuff in it, it's going to have reading plans and all this stuff in there. But God is more concerned with the change in your life. All right. Focus on certain passages that you need to deal with for your life. And let that be your focus until, you know, God strengthens you in that certain area. And then you can move on to something else. I was trying to get over some particular sin, and Titus chapter 2 verse 11 and 12 says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them to say no to ungodliness and to live upright lives in this present age." That's from the New International Version, and that was something I had on my wall. It was simply just me overcoming lust and pornography. That was my only passage that I was reading. That was it. And that's how I memorized the verse, because I kept seeing it every day on my wall. But I was also applying it, thinking about it, meditating on his power. And the grace of God that brings salvation appears to all men, teaching them to say no to ungodliness and to live upright lives in this present age. I know that because I've seen his power in his grace. And so that's what you do with scriptures. You know, you don't go around memorizing just for that sake. You look to see find a scripture that can medicate you, if I can say it like that. If you got an issue, you're going to scripture to be medicated, and you're going to find one, and then you're going to keep taking that medication until that that issue is resolved. All right. If you're doing better, you can go to scripture for encouragement. I go to scripture often for encouragement. I remind myself that I'm in a war every day, so that I'm not blindsided by somebody's behavior. You know, because I have to remember, okay, we in a war, the devil's using people, and, you know, so I'm not going to be taken back by this person's behavior, because I know that the enemy is after me because of what I do and who I'm connected to. So it helps you remind, it's for reminding you of what you're in, and to stay focused and all that stuff. So, you know, that's why I'm against reading plans. You really need to study stuff that's for you personally. Everybody has a pace, and so you may not be able to finish the whole Bible in a year, you know. Don't make that your goal. Make your goal to be transformed in the renewing of your mind, you know. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind from the Word of God. Make that your goal. And whatever scripture that you're on, let that be the goal that you, instead of a reading plan, I'm going to finish the Bible in a year. All right. Once again, at the end of all of this, just apply it. Make sure you apply what you're studying. As I keep saying, apply it, apply it, apply it. Do what it says. He says there's no sense of studying it, reading it, but don't do anything it says, which is why most people don't want to study, because they don't want to do what it says. So they act like, well, I don't know what's in there, so I'm not held accountable. Well, you still are, but at the end of the day, when we study scripture, we got to do what it says. I always find something that reminds me that I need to get back on track, or I need to get better at this, or the Word of God is good. It'll keep you on track. It's important to study it every week. All right, so let's dig into some tools here. And these are things that are all free. You can also buy them if you want to, but they're found online. Commentaries. Commentaries are books of where men give you their opinion on the scripture. They sometimes give you background history about the times of, you know, when that scripture was written and the environment and what they were doing. Some Bibles or Bibles, study Bibles, have pictures in there where they show you how they used to dress and how they used to work, stuff like that. That's beneficial for helping you understand things. I do caution people when it comes to people's interpretation of scriptures, because you can't just study a scripture and then read the commentary and say, okay, that's what that means. Because the Holy Spirit says things four different ways, and He speaks to people's hearts. And if you just grab in one man's commentary, that's not going to help you. And so I encourage people not to even have commentary Bibles at all. I don't have one. I just had a Bible straight up, just the Bible and maybe some references that take you to other scriptures that it may connect with. But I don't have nobody saying what it means, because I let the Holy Spirit do that for me. And it's not to say that it's wrong to hear from somebody else's interpretation. It's kind of like going to church and talking to your brother about a passage you read. So commentaries aren't bad, but you have to be careful. You can take these commentaries and look at them. Okay, that's what you think it say? Okay. But you still got to ask the Holy Spirit and say, hey, what do you think this means? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about this? You know, and it's better to have firsthand understanding from the Holy Spirit than secondhand from a man or something like that. Because He always speaking to you directly, and He'll hit you directly. You know, a commentary, like I said, it may be a general view of what the scripture means, but like I said, the Holy Spirit be speaking in all different kind of ways to different people at different times, and you got to be open to get that from the Holy Spirit rather than just this one-sided from this commentary. Study tools also include reference Bibles. Most Bibles have a little number near a verse. That number correlates to a reference of another scripture. So this is just men saying this is kind of connected to another passage that we read over here. And they link them all up and they put them at the footnotes, and you can see the numbers. And you can check those out to see if they correlate or not. And they'll help you study the Bible as well. So I recommend those in your Bible. So if you get a Bible, had those little numbers in there that point to the references to other scriptures. So, you know, that's part of your studying. Parallel Bibles, another one. So you can be studying the King James Version, and then you have a New Living Translation version. You can look at what that's being said. Or there are websites where that will, like Bible Hub, that will give you, you know, one particular verse in all the different translations that is out there. Bible Gateway does it as well. So in these modern days, we use computers. I use my phone, do a lot of studying. I have an app on there called My Sword, meaning my Bible, My Sword. So that one gives me references. It gives me to other scripture. It gives me different translations. It can only use free versions. So free Bibles out there, like the King James is free. There's a New English Translation that's free. There's the a few other Bibles that's free and not copywritten. You know, there's some Bibles that's actually been copywritten. Like, you can't even, like, repost the scriptures. You can't repost the entire Bible without getting a copyright. Some people will come see you and sue you for copying their Bible version, you know. So, you know, that's why the King James Version is, you know, widely reprinted and is out there. You can, without getting into any issues with that. But it gives me different versions of the Bible. It gives me references. It gives me the ability to look up words. So if I'm using my King James and I'm reading that, I can click on a word and see the Hebrew or the Greek. And the Greek, you know, the word, and then the definitions and what they think this word meant. So that's all in one app on my phone. Okay, this also a Bible search on there. So you can just type in and then find all the words in certain verses that connect to a particular topic. That's good for topical search. You want to know what God says about marriage. You can type in marriage and find all the scriptures about marriage and read what he's saying. And then you can go and find in context, you know, more about those particular passages. That's how you do a topical search and how you can find out what God feels about certain things. It also comes with commentaries if I want to install those and all kind of stuff. So that computer app, there's a computer app that's on your desktop, and that's called the eSword. And then there's one for your phone called My Sword. And you know, I use the phone app more than I use the eSword app on my desktop. And then there are online apps that do a lot of the same. That do a lot of the same stuff I just mentioned. So Bible.com, that's like a social media / Bible app. So you can read passages, you can comment on the passages and connect with other believers who read that passage and talk with them. Bible Hub will give you a parallel view of all the different versions of a particular passage. It will give you some Hebrew and Greek definitions of the words, how they were translated. Bible Gateway does the same thing. You can do a topical search. You can do a keyword search, rather, and find out what's going on. You know, what does God feel about certain things? Or find all the scriptures pertaining to this particular keyword and get an understanding of a particular idea in the scripture. There's another site called openbible.info, and that one is primarily geared to topical searches. So you can type in, how does God feel about merits? Again, we use that as an example. And then it'll give a bunch of user-submitted verses that coincide with that. And you can click on those verses to read more in context and stuff like that. All these things help you in your study. So if you're trying to overcome anything, go to the Bible first. Ask, what does God say about this? How does he feel about this? And you'll begin to find yourself with a list of scriptures where you can study those and understand what God is saying, all right? Ultimately, all you really need is the Holy Spirit and humility. You don't even need to know how to read, really, because they have Bible on audio. So if you can't read, there's an audio Bible out there where you can listen to whole chapters at a time, pause, rewind, and then ask the Holy Spirit, what is this, what's being said here, you know? A good audio Bible is narrated by a man named Max McLean. I have his audio Bible, so I listen to that when I'm walking or something like that. If I don't want to read something because my hands are tired or whatever, there's no excuse not to study the Bible and get the Word of God, okay? This stuff is inexpensive. It's free. You can't be ignorant, you know? So when you stand before God, I didn't know how to read that. I just told you how to study the Bible. Just open it up and get started, you know? That's about it. That's all I got. Make sure you read stuff in context. Don't grab stuff out the blue. Don't let nobody give you a scripture out of nowhere and just say, this is what God is saying. It's like, okay, let me read that in context and I'll see for myself. You know, that's the big thing people do. They take stuff out of context. You can make the Bible say anything. You can make God say anything. Just find a scripture, a portion of it, and just give it to people and say, this is what the Bible says. You see it right there. And a lot of people don't read the verse before it, in the verse after it, or the whole chapter, or the whole book to see what is really being said, you know. Or they don't read into what version of the Bible this is coming from. Because the King James has tripped up a lot of people. I've heard a lot of people come to me say, God created evil. Like, no, he didn't. You know, if you take that word evil, and you'll find that it doesn't mean that because it's coming out of King James, they thinking, or God repents. Does that mean that God sinned? We see in scripture that God repented. Well, repent just means to change his mind. It means to stop what he's doing and turn and change the course. That's all it means. You know, when you think of repent, you mean stop sinning. So you think God stopped sinning because he the same word was used to describe his behavior? That's not what's being said here. It's little stuff like that people will get tripped up on because it's, you know, the passage did not say God changed his mind because it's not a New English version. The King James used God repented. So if you don't know any better, you'll start thinking, well, this don't make sense, you know. The Bible contradicts itself. You've heard that from people, usually atheists and different people who don't respect the word of God. It does not contradict itself. If you find a passage that seems to do that, just read it in context. You'll see everything flows together. What they're doing is finding passages that are out of context and saying, see, in one passage he's saying this, and on another passage he's saying that. See, it don't make no sense. This ain't no book from God. This a bunch of men made this up. That's why it don't make no sense. Well, no, read those passages in context. You'll see everything is flowing together. There's no contradiction. All right. So most people just don't study the Bible. They hear what their pastor told them. They recite scriptures out of context and they go with it. Nobody just takes a little time to read the verse before it and the verse after it. They just don't spend the time doing that. And they end up getting deceived because of that. So the Bible is a fourth grade reading level. It's designed for you. God made the Bible. He inspired the printing press just to get the Bible out to everybody. This is no longer a book where you got to go into a synagogue and sit down and let somebody read it to you. Everybody has a copy. God wants you to have a copy for yourself to read for yourself. All right. So we can't get to this place where I'm going to just let my pastor tell me what the Bible says. You know, God made the Bible readily available for everybody because he wants you to read it for yourself. He didn't want you to just have a man telling you that, so that you can have the Bible for yourself. The Book of Eli is a movie starring Denzel Washington, and it's basically a story about a man with a Bible trying to transport it somewhere. And it just, when I watched the movie, I just said the Bible is so precious. The fact that everybody was fighting over it. You know, the whole movie is about him fighting, you know, people trying to fight to get this book from him because they wanted to use it to control people because they know religion and what the Bible says and God says this can control people. So they were trying to get it and use the Bible for evil reasons. But then Zell says, no, I'm transporting this word somewhere and I got to get it somewhere to transcribe it, you know, because he's going to get the Bible to get reprinted because it was like the last Bible left, you know. So the whole journey is him moving through this world and trying to get this Bible to, you know, I'm not going to spoil the movie. You can go watch it yourself, but it makes you feel like, you know what, the Bible is precious. And it is. It's a precious word of God. It's the only book, you know, God gave to man. And this is a precious book. So when you get your Bible, you know, take that out and just respect the word of God. And thank God that he gave you one personally for you. You ain't got to sit in the synagogue nowhere and let somebody read it to you. Or go to a library and ask the librarian to, can I read Psalms chapter 51? I just need to get access to, like, we ain't got to do that now. We can have our own word of God. And we should be happy about that and joyous that we have the word of God in front of us. And, you know, there's no excuse for not studying the word. So that's all I have for you today. Until next time, walk in the spirit. If you're not born again, read the gospel, believe the gospel, and accept it and be blessed.